Chapter 1. The village lay under 2 feet of snow, with drifts at the windy corners. In a sky of iron, the points of the Dipper hung like icicles, and Orion flashed his cold fires. The moon had set, but the night was so transparent that the white house fronts between the elms looked gray against the snow. Clumps of bushes made black stains on it, and the basement windows of the church sent shafts of yellow light far across the endless undulations. Young Ethan Frome walked at a quick pace along the deserted street, past the bank and Michael Eady's new brick store and Lawyer Varnum's house with the 2 black Norway spruces at the gate. Opposite the Varnum gate, where the road fell away toward the Corbury Valley, the church reared its slim white steeple and narrow peristyle. As the young man walked toward it, the upper windows drew a black arcade along the side wall of the building, but from the lower openings on the side where the ground sloped steeply down to the Corbury Road, the light shot its long bars, illuminating many fresh furrows in the track leading to the basement door, and showing, under an adjoining shed, a line of sleighs with heavily blanketed horses. The night was perfectly still, and the air so dry and pure that it gave little sensation of cold. The effect produced on Frome was rather of a complete absence of atmosphere, as though nothing less tenuous than ether intervened between the white earth under his feet and the metallic dome overhead. "It's like being in an exhausted receiver," he thought. 4 or 5 years earlier, he had taken a year's course at a technological college at Worcester and dabbled in the laboratory with a friendly professor of physics, and the images supplied by that experience still cropped up at unexpected moments through the totally different associations of thought in which he had since been living. His father's death and the misfortunes following it had put a premature end to Ethan's studies. But though they had not gone far enough to be of much practical use, they had fed his fancy and made him aware of huge, cloudy meanings behind the daily face of things. As he strode along through the snow, the sense of such meanings glowed in his brain and mingled with the bodily flush produced by his sharp tramp. At the end of the village, he paused before the darkened front of the church. He stood there a moment, breathing quickly, and looking up and down the street in which not another figure moved. The pitch of the Corbury Road, below Lawyer Varnum's spruces, was the favorite coasting ground of Starkfield, and on clear evenings the church corner rang till late with the shouts of the coasters. But tonight not a sled darkened the whiteness of the long declivity. The hush of midnight lay on the village, and all its waking life was gathered behind the church windows, from which strains of dance music flowed with the broad bands of yellow light.